So there I was, Bethany Beth Walters, just a girl from Cali with a penchant for making folks laugh on TikTok. My life was a mix of sunsets, smoothie bowls, and spontaneous comedy sketches. I had started my TikTok journey on a whim, never imagining it take off the way it did. But before I knew it, I had amassed a quirky little following that seemed to dig my vibes. It all started getting weird when I received my first fan gift, a beautiful antique-looking necklace right at my doorstep with a note that read, "For the brightest star in the night sky." It was sweet, kind of poetic, and it made me blush. I figured it was from a secret admirer, someone who had gotten a bit too invested in my online persona, but how they figured out my address, I have no idea. I shouted off in my next TikTok, thanking the anonymous sender and joking about not having a clue who it could be. But then the gifts didn't stop. A second package arrived, this time a set of vintage vinyl records. Since I'd mentioned in a live stream about a month back how I was trying to get into old school music, the note was more intimate. "To fill your home with melodies as beautiful as your laughter." Okay, flattering, but how did they know my address? And my recent dive into vinyl? I felt a little uneasy because when I turned the note over, it was a hand-drawn nude of myself. Artistic, yeah, but probably crossing the line. This took a darker turn with the third gift. It was a painting, but not just any painting. It depicted me, asleep in my bed, the details eerily accurate, down to the pattern on my pajamas and the color of my sheets. The note chilled me to the bone. "Sleeping Beauty, I watch over you." That's when the red flag started waving frantically in my head. This wasn't normal. This was scary. I tried brushing it off, convincing myself it was some overzealous fan, but deep down I knew it was something more sinister. I started noticing things, like my things not being where I'd left them, or the back gate swinging open when I was sure I'd closed it. Then came the messages, direct to my TikTok inbox, from an account that was always deleted shortly after. "Saw you at the cafe today. Why didn't you smile at me?" I hadn't mentioned being at any cafe online. My heart pounded like a drum solo at that realization. I confided in my best friend, Jess, about everything. She was adamant I go to the police, so I did. But without tangible evidence, they said there wasn't much they could do. "Probably just a troll," they said, dismissing my fears. I felt helpless, trapped in my own home, jumping at shadows. Then came the night that changed everything. I was prepping for a late-night live stream, a chill session where I'd just chat with my followers, maybe play some of those vinyl records. I was setting up when I found the next note, right on my kitchen counter, a place no stranger should ever be. "You look so peaceful when you're unaware. Can't wait to see you tonight." My blood ran cold. This was no longer some distant admirer. They were in my house. The realization hit me like a freight train. I was in danger. I immediately grabbed Rocky, my loyal but not so ferocious Labrador, and locked us both in the bedroom, my heart racing as I dialed 911. The dispatcher told me to stay on the line, that officers were on their way, but every second felt like an eternity. That's when I heard it, the faint sound of footsteps creeping through my house. They were here, inside, with me. Locked in my bedroom, clutching my phone with one hand and Rocky's collar with the other, I whispered into the phone.
"They're here, inside the house."
The dispatcher's voice was a calming presence in the chaos, urging me to stay quiet and keep the door locked. Then, the unthinkable happened. My bedroom door handle started to turn, slow and steady. Rocky growled a deep, menacing sound I've never heard from him before. The door didn't budge, my earlier decision to lock it a stroke of unintended foresight, but that didn't stop them. A shadow loomed at the foot of the door, a figure standing silent in the dark hallway. "I know you're in there, Bethany," a voice hissed, A voice I recognized but couldn't place. A voice that had whispered to me from the shadows of my own videos and dreams. You can't hide from me, my love. Don't worry. Open the door. I just want to make a sketch of you. Terror gripped me, freezing me in place. This wasn't just a stalker. This was someone delusional, someone who believed their own twisted fantasy. Rocky barked furiously, his body tense and ready. The dispatcher's voice broke through my panic.
Officers are almost there. Stay on the line with me.
Then, in a moment of pure horror, the psycho began to throw himself against the door, each thud a hammer strike to my sanity. Rocky lunged forward, barking and snarling, his instincts to protect kicking in full force. And then, he punched at the weak wood of the door before grabbing a baseball bat and hammering it again and again and again. The door broke, and the psycho put his face inside, smiling, looking at me. A shocker. I had seen him before somewhere, but had no idea where. It's about time, darling. Why don't you take your robes off and settle on the couch? I have my sketchbook right here. I was about to scream when suddenly the weight against the door stopped and he was pulled down. Silence filled the house, a silence more terrifying than the noise before. Rocky's growls turned to whimpers. Even he could feel it, the shift in the air. The next moments were a blur. The sound of sirens approached, lights flashing through my curtains, shouts from downstairs, a struggle, and then the unmistakable sound of someone being shot. When the police finally came to my room, I was a mess, tears streaming down my face, Rocky my only source of comfort. They told me he had a knife, that he planned to take me away from a world that didn't deserve us. My stalker, my psycho follower, as it turned out, was someone I'd briefly met at a meet and greet, a face in a sea of fans, someone who had decided that I belonged to him. The aftermath was a whirlwind of statements, investigations, and an outpouring of support from my online community. But something inside me had shifted. The world felt darker, more dangerous. I decided to stop posting TikToks, focus on healing, on rebuilding the safety of my personal space. Rocky became more than a pet. He was my hero, my protector. He sensed the danger before I had, his loyalty never wavering. It was his bark, his fierce defense, that had ultimately saved me, giving me the courage to endure those terrifying moments before help arrived. Reflecting on those harrowing nights, I realized how easily I had opened my life to the world, naive to the dangers that lurked in the shadows of fame. As for my psycho stalker, he was sentenced to a long stint behind bars, a small comfort in the grand scheme of things. The experience taught me the true value of safety, of trust, and of the strength we find in the face of darkness. It was a lesson I'd never forget, a story that would always remind me of the light that exists within us, a light no shadow could ever extinguish. I remember the day Dean slid into my DMs, smooth as butter, his words sweet as honey. He had that true Texas charm, talking about his sprawling ranch outside of Lubbock and his love for the wide open skies. Said he was a big fan of my travel vlogs and thought a collaboration would be just the thing my followers would eat up. He invited me for a 10-day all-inclusive free trip to his luxury ranch, where we'd shoot and collaborate on TikTok. I admit the idea of filming horses galloping at sunset and the rustic beauty of Texas had me packing my bags without a second thought. The drive up to Dean's ranch was like stepping into another world. Miles and miles of open land, the kind of solitude you read about in those old Western novels. Dean was waiting for me at the gate, all smiles and warmth, a real cowboy in flesh and bone.
"Welcome to paradise," he said, taking my bag.
The first red flag came that evening. Dean insisted on a welcome ceremony, said it was tradition. We stood outside as the sun dipped below the horizon, and he started chanting in what sounded like some twisted version of Latin, his eyes closed and arms raised to the sky. I felt a chill run down my spine, the hairs on my arms standing on end, but I chalked it up to cultural differences, trying to keep an open mind. But things got weirder, fast. Dean's demeanor changed once the camera was off. The warm, charming guy I met online was gone, replaced by someone cold and controlling. He'd snap over little things, like me not standing where he wanted during filming or questioning his rituals.
"You don't understand the forces we're dealing with here," he'd said, his temper flaring like a wildflower.
That night, he led me to a barn, far from the main house, for what he called the ceremony of binding. Inside the barn was lit by dozens of candles, casting eerie shadows on the walls. In the center stood an altar, draped in red cloth, with symbols I'd never seen painted all around them. Dean claimed it would bond our spirits for the shoot, ensuring the success of our collaboration. Despite every instinct screaming at me to run, I found myself frozen, caught in the headlights of his fervent belief. He began the ceremony with more chanting, then pulled out a small, ornate knife, gesturing for my hand.
"A drop of blood to seal our bond."
That was the moment I knew I had to get out. But when I pulled away, his reaction was volcanic.
"You don't respect the traditions!"
he yelled, grabbing my arm with a grip that bruised. I managed to wrench free, running back to the main house and locking myself in my room. That night, I lay awake, listening to the sounds of the ranch, a symphony of nocturnal creatures and the distant, unsettling echo of Dean's chants. I realized then that I wasn't just a guest on his ranch, I was a prisoner. The following days blurred into a nightmarish cycle of bizarre ceremonies and Dean's growing unpredictability. He didn't let me leave. He talked about purifying the land, about me being chosen for something greater. I started to see the truth of my situation. I was in the clutches of a madman, far from home and completely alone. As the days melded into each other, each one a little echo of the last, my sense of despair deepened. Dean's ceremonies became increasingly deranged, each one supposedly a step closer to some grand event he kept alluding to but never fully explained. In one, he sacrificed a newborn horse, rubbing its blood on our faces to cleanse our vibrations. In another, he invited his local friends, and it led to a ceremony where I was tied to the center, and they took turns to feed me raw chicken one by one.
"You'll be the heart of it all, Paris," he'd say, with a fervor that made my blood run cold. "The final ceremony will change everything."
I knew I couldn't wait for whatever twisted finality Dean had planned. My escape had to come from my own cunning. The idea struck me late one night. I still had my phone, though Dean checked it daily to ensure I wasn't calling for help, but he never thought to check my TikTok, assuming it was just frivolous nonsense. I began crafting my posts carefully, inserting hidden messages in my videos, a plea for help in the description, coded in what seemed like innocent travel tips. Coordinates of the ranch subtly highlighted in the background of a shot. It was a desperate plan, but it was all I had.
"Today, we're exploring the deeper parts of the ranch,"
I said in one video, forcing enthusiasm into my voice as I gestured to the dense woods behind me.
"It's wild and untamed, full of mysteries."
Dean's mood swings grew more violent as the days passed. His anger erupted over the smallest things, a misplaced item, a moment of hesitation from me. But it was his belief in the ceremonies that truly terrified me. He spoke of them as if they were alive, whispering secrets only he could understand. The final ceremony was nearing. Dean promised, with a gleam in his eyes that chilled me to the bone.
"You're almost ready. Soon you'll see." I posted my last video the day before the ceremony was to take place, a tour of the ranch that ended with a shot of the barn where Dean said it would all happen.
Can't wait to show y'all what's next,
I said, my voice trembling. The description read,
Tomorrow's the big day. Can't reveal much, but let's just say it's going to be a blast. Wish me luck.
In the background, if you look closely enough, were the coordinates of the ranch, written on a piece of paper pinned to the barn door. That night, Dean was restless, pacing the house, muttering to himself. I lay in bed, pretending to sleep, my heart racing. I heard him leave the house before dawn, heading toward the barn to prepare. I slipped out of my room, my phone in my hand, and made my way to the edge of the property. I hid in the brush, dialing 911, praying for a signal.
Please, you have to help me. He's planning something terrible.
I whispered into the phone when the call finally went through. The sound of sirens in the distance was the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. Dean emerged from the barn, his face twisted in rage as he saw the police cars tearing up the driveway.
No! You don't understand! It's not finished!
They found me in the brush, shaking and crying, but alive. As they led Dean away, his eyes met mine, full of betrayal and madness.
You were the chosen one!
He yelled.
You've ruined everything!
In the aftermath, my TikTok became a testament to my ordeal. Each hidden message, a breadcrumb that had led to my rescue. The world was horrified and fascinated by my story, but for me, it was a painful reminder of the terror I had lived through. Sitting in the safety of my own home, far from the wide open skies of Texas, I realized how narrowly I had escaped. Dean's ranch, his ceremonies, his madness, it all seemed like a bad dream, but the scars it left were all too real. A reminder of the darkness that lurks behind the most charming of facades. I had survived, but at a cost. My trust in others, my sense of safety, had been shattered. Yet, as I looked into the comments on my videos, the messages of support and relief at my safety, I knew I wasn't alone. My story had touched people, reminded them of the strength we all have within us, and maybe, just maybe, that was worth everything I'd endured.